This broadcast of the PJC Media Network seeks to present wholesome, thought-provoking, and entertaining content. However, the views expressed by the hosts of PJC Media are theirs and theirs alone. They do not reflect the views of this network or its affiliates. Please utilize listener discretion.
Hi, everyone, and welcome to the Let's Talk About It with Jenny White Show. Each week, we feature different topics concerning issues that sometimes can be difficult to talk about. These issues concern children and adults who may be autistic, have Asperger's, or have mental disorders of any kind. We will discuss law enforcement and how they interact with these persons. Now, let's start the show.
Good evening. Good evening and welcome to the Let's Talk About It with Jenny White Show. Tonight we're going to be talking about the Delta variant, and it's as contagious as the chicken pox. So we have to be very careful, and those of you that have not been vaccinated, I think you need to change your mind. Because a mutant strain of the coronavirus that some researchers believe is more infectious is rampaging across the globe. Dozens of San Francisco healthcare workers have been infected with the coronavirus over the past 6 weeks, a reflection of what's happening across the community since the state reopened and the Delta variant surged. The Delta variant continues to tear across the United States, causing hospital rates to soar and leading the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention to recommend that even people who are fully vaccinated resume wearing masks in indoor public spaces and in most parts of the country. Luckily for us, the Delta variant is far less likely to cause serious disease or death in people who are fully vaccinated against COVID-19. However, the variant does have a formidable superpower. It replicates far more rapidly and efficiently in the human body than any previous known variant. So there, if you didn't know, now you know. So you need to be vaccinated and try to do your best to not be involved in that. So right now I'm going to bring in my co-host guest tonight, Mr. Coleman. How are you? I'm sorry?
I said, how are you today?
Oh, I'm great. How about you?
Good, good. Last Friday of July?
Yes, it is. Yes. I forgot about that. Tomorrow's the last day of July. And we're rushing to get to Christmas, it seems.
Yeah, rushing to get out this pandemic.
Now we got Delta.
Yeah, those are some good statistics that you gave in regards to this new COVID-19 variant that seems to, like you said, be as contagious as chickenpox. I guess what I wanted to ask, today, and, you know, we can talk about this Delta variant, and then we can kind of have an open mic and talk about different subjects as well. But starting off with this Delta variant, they are saying that 97% of the people that are in the hospital with COVID now are unvaccinated. And so They really, really want everybody to be vaccinated. You know, they've even got it to where the NFL says that if your team has a COVID outbreak because of unvaccinated players, you will forfeit that game and not get paid.
Wow.
Yeah, so
on the other hand, you have people saying that if they get the vaccine, they'll give them a gun.
Oh, I haven't heard that one.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. We'll give you a gun if you get the shot. That's crazy to me. Okay, just me.
Well, here in Michigan, they've got a lottery. They're giving out $50,000, you know, to certain winners, and then they're going to have a couple million-dollar winners. So, you know.
Yeah, Kroger does.
Paying people to get vaccinated. Get in the jackpot. You might win some money.
Yeah, well, you just might.
They're still dealing with these anti-vaxxers, you know, these GOP Republicans that are, I think, 90%, well, I think it's close to 100% of the Democrats in Congress are vaccinated, and I think it's, 45-50% of the Republicans. So they are.
I'm surprised it's not all of them, because their leader got his. He took the vaccine.
Who are you talking about?
Donald Trump.
But he's not telling anybody. He's not promoting it. He's not advocating for it.
I know.
He advocating for the big lie. That's what's keeping him relevant.
Yeah.
You got to keep the lie going.
Yeah,
I heard one commentator on TV say, it was developed while the Republicans were in office, so we need to start telling people it's the Trump vaccine. It's the Trump vaccine. Maybe they'll start getting vaccinated. But then, I was thinking, like, okay, who are you talking to? Because if you go into, Detroit, Pittsburgh, Milwaukee, and start talking about this Trump vaccine, I don't think the majority of those people, which are black, aren't going to be interested in that. But, I mean, so his audience was the MAGA crowd,
Yeah.
So, yeah, he was talking about the white people, getting those white people. Not anybody else that doesn't believe in the vaccine.
Well, you have a caller now.
Hello, caller.
Hi,
yes,
how you doing?
From Detroit. Hey, when you just brought that up, do you ever remember the commercial on TV where this rat is standing up there behind this table and they're eating this rat poison, and as she's talking, all of a sudden, She sees all these people fall, the other rats fall and die.
Yeah,
that's what's
going
to happen to a lot of the Trump people. They're going to be standing up there yelling about, we don't have to. And then as soon as they look around and somebody dies, then all of a sudden you're going to, you think we can get it now?
There have been people that got the coronavirus and publicly tells people, please get the vaccine, and I wish I had it.
Well, I mean,
it's
too late now.
Well, when they first started, there were people that were going to the hospital and were saying that the doctors were giving them a virus, that they're trying to kill them because Trump said that it was a hoax. So, they blame the doctors and the nurses for actually giving them the virus.
Yeah, I mean, they were even saying that, the people over at Fox Tucker Carlson mm-hmm. and Megyn Kelly and all those people are vaccinated because Fox has a mandate that their employees have to be vaccinated. So, you know, even all that stuff they're talking, you know, they're vaccinated. They don't talk about it, but yeah, but they are. So it's you know, the big thing is because more black and brown people die from it, I think it's not taken as serious among some people as it should be. And then I think the younger generation doesn't necessarily take it as serious as, you know, either. And unless you've known someone that's gotten sick from it and died from it, then, you know, it may not really be real to you. It may just be a lot of propaganda. You know, now, if you know people that have passed away from it or gotten gravely ill from it, you know, you have a different perspective. But I think that for someone that doesn't know anyone that's gotten sick from it and doesn't have anything to reference except for what they say on the news, and, you know, you can – the things on the news, you know, believe half of, you know, what they say,
yeah.
half of what they say and none of what you see or something like whatever
right.
that saying is.
Yeah.
You know.
But
so you'll never get
that,
100% of everybody.
Well, that's true. But the people in Detroit especially should think about it, because we've had the pictures of all these people that died, and all you had to do was go to Belle Isle and drive around and see all those people. I mean, what else? How much else do you have to know?
What was on
Belle
Isle?
I'm sorry.
What was on Belle Isle? You said go to Belle Isle.
They had the pictures. They had the pictures.
The people that had passed.
Yes, you didn't know that?
Oh,
no, a whole lot of people didn't know. I didn't know. I just happened to ride around the island when they were out there, you know, so that's the only way I knew. I didn't find out about it through the news. I just happened to be out there, you know, when the pictures were out there, and then tried to come back the following day, and the island was so crowded, they blocked it off. You couldn't get back on it.
Right, right. And then they've had some of the people, as a matter of fact, they had Glenn's family, the newspaper, had them in the paper.
Mm-hmm.
So,
Glenn's
I mean,
family.
You know. Our
Glenn
drummer.
Glenn was our drummer at that church.
Who taught
Joshua
how to play the drum. So.
You know, remember that lady I was telling you about that lost 11 of her
yes.
uncles and cousins.
Wow.
And three of her and three of her sisters and brothers.
Wow.
I think she's back, and she had it. Now she's back in the hospital.
Well, they say, you know, in some instances, once you get COVID, you know, you have some after effects. You know,
right.
One basketball
Something
player,
stays with you.
Jason
right.
Tatum, who plays out of Boston, you know, caught it, and now they say he has to use inhaler before he starts, you know, before he plays games now. He never had to do that before. So
that's
going to
limit. Isn't that going to limit him? Because he needs all the air he can get.
He's still performing at a high level, but there was another athlete who had a, you know, heart condition behind catching COVID. So, you know, it affects people differently. Some people are asymptomatic, you know, symptomatic, and don't
well,
have
I
any
thought,
symptoms.
I thought I was told that you can't walk. People have to learn how to walk again. And then there are those that can't speak. And that's some bad stuff. If you can't
well,
walk.
You're talking about the Guillain-Barré that they were talking about. That's what Guillain-Barré actually does. It's floating paralysis. And so, like I said, I learned about it 20 years ago, but since this pandemic came out, that's one of the aftermath, which means one day you won't be able to move your arm. The next day it might go to the other arm. It can go to your lungs. It can go to your legs. It can go to your digestive system.
Oh, man. What do you call it?
Also,
I asked that, too. What's the name of that again?
What do you call that?
Guillain-Barré. And how I learned about it back 20 years ago, I had a friend whose daughter was sent up to University of Michigan Hospital, and she had been there for a month, and the doctors couldn't figure out what was wrong with her. And this doctor from, I think it was from England, just happened to be there, and they were telling him about this problem. And he was the one that actually, you know, because it wasn't really, you know, well known. He said, because what she was doing, she wasn't controlling her bowels, right? One day she'll control it, the next day she would. So they thought she was being defiant, right? Because they say we tell her one day to lift her legs, she'll lift it. The next day she won't lift it. So they thought she was just, you know, being resistant, you know. And when he came in and said, that's Guillain-Barré. He said, that's widely known in Europe. But, you know, that was the first one at University of Michigan Hospital had ever had. And this was about maybe 20 years ago.
Wow.
So there's some interesting stuff that's going on in combination with other things. Matter of fact, the gentleman I was telling you about for maybe on the 16th, but he's 80 years old now. You got to understand, he's 80. But he was in good shape until he got it. He was at that yesterday's, it's a bar up in, I think, Southfield, where 33 people wind up getting it, and I think 16 people died.
Oh, wow.
They used to have a dance thing going on there. And matter of fact, the owner has never opened it back up again. Well, now he has, like I said, he has memory problems. He can't remember. One of his eyes is going bad. He said that he has bumps all over his body, you know, and they're very, you know, sensitive. And he said he has a hard time breathing. He can just walk to the car and get back. Now, he's been home about maybe 3 months, you know, since he was actually put on a ventilator and came off the ventilator. But he's still, you know, is having all kinds of problems. And now it seems like he's getting dementia what do they call it?
Alzheimer's.
Alzheimer's, yes. Alzheimer's.
Oh, wow.
So, yeah, that's bad.
Kidding.
That's where Donna Faye, you know, one of the Wayne County sheriffs, passed away.
Wow.
Yeah, he was one of the Wayne County sheriffs. And he was one of the early people to pass away. I think he died last March as a result of that.
Wow.
So, yeah, I mean, just like, you know, Benny Napoleon, you know, Wayne County sheriff, you know, here in Michigan.
Michigan.
Got sick and didn't get better. And his brother had had it too.
He had. Got okay.
So you know, COVID affects different people, you know, differently. You know, they talk about this brain fog as well. You know, where you know you have this. Lasting brain fog. So sometimes you don't know if it's brain fog or if you're just getting old.
Getting old.
Senior moment. Shit, right. This a senior moment or is this COVID related? You know, I can't remember nothing. Yeah, right. My eye twitching now. I think I might have had a COVID.
I think on MSNBC, I think it was Wednesday night on MSNBC, they showed the lungs of a person that didn't have COVID compared to a lungs of a person that had it. And,
okay.
I mean, that the lungs were looking really bad for the people that had it. So they're saying the person would never, ever be the same. And this was supposed to be from, I think, a 29-year-old person, I think
oh,
it was.
Oh, wow.
You know.
Yeah, I read something. I don't know how accurate it was, where it talks about what COVID does to, not the Delta variant, but what COVID does to your blood vessels. It's kind of like they said, you know, because it has spikes on it. It's a, you know, spike protein.
The way they show
you know,
it on TV with those little red things.
So,
okay.
Kind of give you an analogy, you know, how when you run your fingers across the blackboard, you know, it's kind of like that's what happens to the inside of your arteries. It just scratches, you know, and makes them mushy and, you know, jacks you up. So.
Wow. That's a
so,
bad
you know,
thing.
Yeah, you know, it's one of those things where, you know, I had an aunt who was born in 1908, and I wish I had known about the Spanish flu enough to ask her back then. She would have been 13, you know, what does she remember about it, if anything? I would have liked to have known her answer behind that.
You talking about him, Moles?
No, I ain't Charlie.
Oh, okay.
And Moses was born, I think, 1899. Yeah.
Well, I don't know.
Well, what they're saying by this winter, this Delta, this new Delta, should hit us, I think it's just 3 or 4 times harder than the original. So
what
does that sound like this winter's going to be like?
Oh, it's going to be rough, you know, right around kicking in with flu season.
Right.
And then the kids are going back to school, too, you know. And
oh, wow.
I think the governor in Arkansas tried to put down, pass something to make a mandate illegal, you know. The state's open and no mask. Nobody can, you know, no business.
That was
can,
Tennessee as well.
Okay.
But Tennessee said no vaccinations at all should be given. Even what we do for
measles, mumps, rubella, the MMR,
no
and all that,
all.
And polio.
Not even polio.
Why?
They're saying that should be a person's choice, where it's mandated now in order to go to show those certain vaccinations. But they're saying they don't even want that any longer.
It's going to be something different. You know, you're talking back to school.
Mm-hmm.
I can see why it would spread. Because these kids, bring it home to their parents and their grandparents.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Well, I hate to say it, but all it takes is about 3 or 4, Caucasian kids dying. That all of a sudden,
you see a
big major change in
that's
everything.
True. You're right about that.
Yeah,
that's what it'll take.
As long as the black folks
are dying behind it.
Yeah. As long as the black people are dying,
it ain't no big deal.
Right.
One less nigga. That's all they got. You know. One less Negro.
Now let's look at that and pose the question we posed last week. What do we do in order to help our young people get ahead with all the stuff that's been doubly piled on top of them? Remember that from last week?
Yeah. Well, you know, the biggest thing is, you know, what you're talking about at home. Now, I mean, if your parents not vaccinated, then, you know, they not going to tell the kid to get vaccinated if they're old enough to get vaccinated because the parents not vaccinated. So that's just going to be one household of unvaccinated people that have the potential to spread COVID to whoever they come in contact with. They say you can just walk past somebody with this Delta and get and catch it.
Mm-hmm. What?
So, well, they say it's, you know, like with COVID, you know, if you were in a room for an extended period of time, 15 minutes or, you know, less than 6 feet, you know, you would stand a chance of catching it. But they say with this Delta, you know, it's easier to catch it than that. So, you know, but then you can still go into these conspiracy theories, too.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. There's, you know, because the government is pushing it hard. It's still under emergency order. You know, it hasn't been FDA approved, you know, which they say should be coming soon, but it's not here today. And so, you know, everybody.
Don't you think that's
you
a
know,
good thing?
What's that?
Don't you think that's a good thing that they're trying to make sure that is right before they just?
Oh, I'm saying they're already pushing it. The gates are already open. I mean, they want everybody vaccinated. So,
right. But what I'm saying is, I'm glad they're taking their time to, you know, to make sure each group, you know, is affected or understand the way they're being affected by it. You know, because it was Donald Trump,
well,
and he would open up to everybody. Regardless of what age they were, he wouldn't care.
Well, you know, I think, you know, the only good thing, well, I mean, you know, they've got it open to, I think, as young as 15 can get vaccinated now. I think 15,
I think
maybe
it's
even
above,
12.
It's
you
above
know.
12 now. It's above 12.
Yeah, so, I mean, you know, they're still trying to get they're trying to get 90%. Plus percentage of people vaccinated. So, I mean, at that point, you know, once it's FDA approved, you know, everybody has already been vaccinated. So what if, so just to say, what if the FDA say, well, you know, we can't approve it because of this, that, and the other. And, you got 120 million people that's already been vaccinated. They say, well, you know, we found something and we're not going to approve it until, you know, you change this. Okay, 120 people already been vaccinated. Ain't nobody going to trust it not to get a booster shot or not to get vaccinated if they're not vaccinated. So they can't.
Yeah.
So the FDA can't come back and say, you know, something was wrong with it. They'd have to approve it or just say, you know, we're going to, you know, just keep this emergency order on there unlimitedly. So, I don't know, you know. It's, you know, damned if you do, damned if you don't, you know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's for sure. That's
you know,
for
you
sure.
You get vaccinated and not be able to have any kids, but if you 80 years old, you ain't thinking about kids, you know. You trying to live your next 20 years.
I know that's right.
But if you're 20, you don't know if it's going to affect your reproduction system. So, you know, or you're 30, you're still in the childbearing years. You know, you don't know what taking
that's
is going
true.
To do for you.
That's
they
true.
They say it's okay for pregnant women to take.
And you know what? I don't understand that because there's no way that I would have done that if I was pregnant. I would not have done that, especially if I were breastfeeding my child. No.
Mm-hmm.
Because they did say on the news, once I caught this one, that one of the mothers had gotten the vaccine and she had the baby and the baby had COVID.
Mm.
Now, that's kind of bad.
The vaccine, the baby would still have COVID, right?
I guess.
Well, I don't think the baby caught COVID from breastfeeding off the milk. The mama might have had COVID. I think the vaccine gave the baby COVID. Might have gave the baby
no,
some
I'm,
milk.
No, but what I'm saying is that I would not have taken the vaccine
if I was
pregnant.
I mean, no.
So.
Well, let's kind of switch the subject a little bit and talk about there's some talk on these blogs and social media talking about impeaching the Republicans, impeaching Biden and Harris, and then instituting Trump as the Speaker of the House, therefore he would automatically become the next president. I mean, there's all kinds of craziness out here.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they're talking about he's going to be reinstated in August. So,
yeah, that's what that was going around.
Stay tuned for the next insurrection.
Mm-hmm.
So, what do
you
think about this January 6th committee?
Did you hear what happened today, though?
Mm-hmm.
About Trump?
What happened today? No.
Today they found that they've got messages from the DOJ where Trump was trying to get them to throw the election for him.
Right.
And that for the first time they actually have, I guess, direct notation from the person who took the message down. And so they're looking at now going at Trump for that for sedition. So looks like from this point on, he may not be able to run for president again.
Well, I said I hope he does not. That was my comment.
Well, he's going to run. Well, I don't know if he's going to run or not, because, you know, all that money he's been collecting is not going to the Republican
Party. He sure
Party.
Has. Well, he need to pay off
all
some of the
going,
bills
he
owes.
Right. That's what all that money is going to. It ain't going. Republican Party said they ain't seen no money from Trump.
You're right.
That all the money that I think it was like $79 million that Trump had people had sent to Trump.
A lot.
Oh,
and
how
he
nice
owes a lot
to have
too.
Fools.
Who'd you
mean,
tell?
It's a whole lot of billionaires owe a lot of money.
Mm-hmm.
You got a whole lot of leverage, loans, mortgages, and all kinds of stuff. So,
what was it? You want to become a millionaire, buy a lot of houses, but then you're in debt for $2 million.
Right.
And so then, where are you at? I mean, you're a millionaire, but you still ain't got no money.
Right.
Yes,
yeah,
also.
Well, you know, you if you are a millionaire and $2 million in debt, you're right. You broke.
You still in
trouble. You just broke driving in a Rolls Royce. Living
hey.
In a mansion.
You're not,
take a little
you're
more
not
than
right.
a million,
you
but you know.
It, you got it hidden in the alley somewhere. Won't nobody see it.
With the Rolls Royce in the garage on the
yes.
side of it. Yeah.
Oh,
right,
and also tonight, the whatchamacallit expires for people for the rent.
Right.
All these people that
oh,
have
the eviction moratorium.
Right.
Yeah.
And I don't
eviction
know why
moratorium.
They waited so
okay.
late.
I thought
they
that was
wait
well,
so late?
Dumb. Well, I thought that was kind of dumb for the, what's the young lady, the Speaker of the House, because she's normally on top of everything. She, you
with
know,
Pelosi?
And she came on TV, yeah, Pelosi. She said, uh-oh, we should have started a little early. And I was like, as much as you're on
wow.
top of everything, you weren't on top of that?
Well, you know, it's so much going on in these Republicans,
right.
you know, with their smoke and mirrors and stalling and filibustering and, you know,
mm-hmm.
and all the stuff that they're doing. It's by design. I mean, they're trying to throw you off so that you get behind and let something like that expire. You know, they
mm-hmm.
said that with the amount of money that has been pumped into the economy, it has decreased the poverty rate by 50%. You know, so half the people that
increased
were...
Increased it?
Decreased.
No, decreased it.
Oh, okay.
Yeah,
well,
it's
see,
gone down.
They say for every dollar you put into the economy, it's multiplied times six. So if you put $1 trillion into the economy, and is that multiplied by six? I mean, wouldn't you be further ahead?
Oh, for sure. You know, now with this infrastructure bill, you know, they were talking about passing a $500 billion bill, which there's another reconciliation bill with the rest of the funds for child care and seniors and all that, that's separate, that Nancy Pelosi says she's not going to vote on that $500 billion bill. She's not going to present that until they vote on the other bill as well. So, you know, I think in August they're going to be on a recess, you know.
Right.
Till probably September. So, and then they're going to be up against some more deadlines. You know, they need to get this voting rights bill passed. Get that, you know, voting registration.
We just got a mess.
Yeah.
Ball of confusion, huh?
Yeah, they were talking about the Republicans in Georgia now trying to take over the elections in Fulton County, you know, where Atlanta is, you know, the largest county in Georgia. And
yeah, but Abrams ain't going to let them do that.
Who?
Abrams.
Who? Well, Stacey Abrams doesn't have an elected position. She's just a regular citizen like everybody else.
Yeah, but she can get something going.
They
got
to organize.
About them.
But let me ask you, what do you think the outcome would be if all that went through? Do you think all the black people in Atlanta and everybody just going to sit around and just pat their feet and say, oh, well? I mean, do people
really think
that was going to happen?
I think they're going to stand in these long lines, go to jail if you try to give somebody some food.
Right,
some
water.
I think they're going to change polling places so people are going to be confused where the polling places are. They're going to they didn't cancel, you know, polls sold to the polls on Sunday. So, no, I mean, I think black people are going to do the best they can to vote, but, you know, they're making it real hard for you. You know, it's going to be a whole lot of people that's going to be disenfranchised because of the early voting. You know, it's going to be compromised. And then, you know, they've already taken out the Republican Secretary of State, you know, removed him. And then, you know, they're trying to put in their own people right now so that they'll have Republicans overlooking the elections in Georgia. So if they have any discrepancies regarding what they feel, if they feel some discrepancies with the election, they've got a Republican that's overseeing it, you know, and they can change the results if they don't like the results that came out of that counting. Just like they've gotten this fraudulent count going on in Arizona for 4 months.
Right.
That's supposed to take 4 weeks. So, no, I don't think black people just go sit back and take it, you know, but I think they're making it real hard for us, just like in Texas and a whole bunch of other red states. You know, they're making it real hard. So if we have any other callers that would like to participate in this conversation, or if you have some topic that you would like to discuss, you know, feel free, push the one, and we can talk about it. We can talk about that. We could talk about mass incarceration, mandatory minimums, you know, where, you know, black and brown people are being sentenced at a higher rate. You know, they're being stopped and you know, falsely accused and having, you know, a bunch of trumped up charges on them, then have you plead down to another felony. So, we could talk about that. We could talk about the kids going back to school in the fall, what do you think about the kids going back to school, you know, without masks? What's your opinion on that?
Well, my opinion is...
Matter of fact, hold on. The popo coming after me. Hold on. That was a joke. Go ahead.
Oh, you know what? That scared me. Don't do that. I'm saying, what? Are you in your car?
That was one of those Madea lines. Here come the popo. Okay, that's
you
all right, Jenny.
You can't do what she does.
A little slow.
Yeah.
I ain't trying to do what Madea doing.
No.
Well, something else that's in the news, they were talking about this black lady. I think this happened in 2018. Was in the suburb of Georgia. She went to a pajama party with some white friends, or, you know, she was making friends, some white associates, and, you know, they found her the next day in the backyard, face down, saying she fell over the balcony, you know, and one of the white ladies said she had, last time she saw it was 2 a.m, she had gone out for a smoke. They said that she was intoxicated, you know, her blood was like, alcohol level was like 0.23, the legal limit of is less than 0.8, and her family was saying, you know, she doesn't drink like that. She doesn't, you know, why would she wait to go to a party with some people she, you know, barely knew to get sloppy drunk? And so they had reopened the investigation because they had closed it and had the GBI, Georgia Bureau of Investigation, looking into it. To see, you know, based on all the protests last summer for the George Floyd murder, they reopened it. But the GBI came back and said they didn't find anything new to prosecute or charge anybody. But then the family's attorneys were showing all the relationships that people had with each other. Like, you know, one of the ladies was friends with the sheriff, and I think one of the husbands worked in one of the prosecutor's office. So everybody was related in some capacity to where they had an interest in covering it up. And, you know, they said that she had blows, you know, she had marks consistent on her body that looked like, you know, she was, you know, defending herself. Yeah, pretty much beat up. So they, you know, GDI came back, you know, there's no evidence that there was any foul play. We think it was just a tragic accident, you know, where she was under the influence, fell off the balcony, and, you know, ended up killing her, you know, dying. She had 5 kids and a husband.
Mm.
And, you know, they were like, no, something else is going on with that. That's just like the young man who was at a Georgia high school, and they found his body in the gym wrapped up in some mat.
And, oh, yeah,
you know,
I remember
they
that.
Said, they said that he fell in the mat and wrapped himself up and suffocated.
Yeah, right.
But, you know, it was two there that people suspected were involved. Their father was an FBI agent, so, of course, that was swept under the rug. And then they said his body ended up, you know, I guess the family requested an autopsy, you know, and they got his body back from wherever the body was at, and his organs was missing. It
what?
Newspapers in the body cavity. Yeah, they stole his organs. But
Somebody must have needed something.
Yeah, nobody's been convicted of that either. So it's a lot going on in these streets.
Yes.
Pick a topic.
Yes.
Well, I'm
Where's Sister Lucy? Sister Lucy on today?
Yep.
push one. What'd you say, Brother TC?
I said I'm going to bring up some good news. The two girls that went to Harvard, won Harvard debating thing this past week. The two young, I think one was 18 and the other was 17.
What about Harvard?
Normally has a major debate once a year.
Okay.
For all high school students and stuff, Harvard University, and for the first time, two black girls won.
Oh, very good. That's definitely good news.
Yeah. So we got that. We got the black girl that won the spelling bee, you know, the national spelling bee.
They said she wasn't the first black girl. They said she was the first black American girl. They said that it was a Jamaican girl that won two. But they said she was the first African American young lady. But the way they report it is like she's the first black.
Right.
You know, and I'd have to go and look to see if, you know, the past winners of the Scripps spelling bees. But I did hear that. You know. Mm-hmm. She wasn't the first black, but the first black American.
Okay.
And she's a good basketball player, too.
Yeah. I think she had two Guinness World Records.
Yeah, she's special.
Basketball. How about Simone Biles?
Well, you know, she's taking a mental break. I ain't mad.
Yeah,
at her.
But they're dogging her. That's some crazy
people who dogs are people who can't do.
That's cool.
If you can't do nothing,
then
you accept what you do. You're both.
But criticize, right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I mean, you know, I was pretty much boycotting the Olympics anyway. You know, I wasn't feeling, you know, a lot of, you know, there's a percentage of Japanese culture that's racist towards black American, you know.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. And with that being said, and this Olympics being in Tokyo, they were kind of going hard, you know. They had come out with a black company had a swimming cap, and they tried to introduce to the Olympics, said, no, you know, swimming cap has to be the shape of your head, but if you got hair that's in braids or something that's not going to fit a regular cap, it would fit these caps. They say, no, we're not sanctioning that. And I've heard several coaches from different countries have been fired for making racist remarks. So it's just been a mess over there, you know. And then, you know, there's some, you know, females like what is her name? Cantor Semenya, and she's from Africa, and she's been killing them. I mean, you know, like in the 800, in all the races, you know, she was just blowing out the competition. But, you know, they tested her and said her testosterone levels were too high, you know, so they wanted to check to make sure that she was born a female, you know, and do a whole lot of intrusive things. And then they said, well, you're eliminated from these particular competitions because your testosterone level was too high and it's unfair to the other people participating. So if you want to participate, you have to take these medicines to lower your testosterone to like 0.05.
No.
Then you can compete. So, you know, so they – and then, you know, and then they did the same thing to two other African girls this Olympics, where they banned them from a couple competitions because they had high testosterone levels and you know, they want to scrutinize you and make sure that you were born a female, and they want you to take these drugs to lower your testosterone in order to participate, to make it an even playing field. You know, they only do that to black people.
Yeah. And that's their excuse.
So that's the Olympics, you know. So I ain't feeling the Olympics, you know, just like Naomi Osaka. You know, she ended up losing over in the Olympics, so she was a little disappointed with that. But then Simone Biles said, hey, you know, I'm just not going to participate. You know, I'm not feeling it. And she's already the greatest. She don't have nothing else to prove.
That's right. She's a GOAT.
Yeah, she's the greatest of all time.
Oh, yes. Yeah.
Well, I can see what when it comes to her, that mental thing. I mean, can you imagine doing all those flips, you know, just one slight mistake, and you could probably,
yeah.
you know, end up. So you gotta be mentally tough. If you ain't mentally there, you know.
Yeah. No.
That would be disastrous.
And that's what she said. Yeah, that's exactly what she said. You know, she wasn't there mentally. She said the weight of the world was on her, and, you know, she just was feeling the pressure. And she said, you know, if you're not there mentally, you can get hurt. And
yeah,
she didn't feel like she was. Yeah, she didn't feel like she was there. So,
and I don't blame her. And she's been doing someone no one else has done. So.
Oh, yeah, they have.
She has nothing.
Named after her.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
She has nothing to prove.
No, she. I did read a tweet that she has written saying that all the outpouring of love and support, she really appreciated it, and it showed that she was worth more than, you know, gymnastics and athletics. And she said that's where she put all her value, and that she felt without that, you know, she didn't feel her worth until she saw all this support. All support, the support she received from this decision that she made, it made her know people, you know, care for her for who she is and not for just what she does.
Yes, and oh, look, we have a caller. Hello.
And how are everyone tonight? I'm just enjoying listening to the program.
We're waiting for you.
I'm enjoying
just
listening to
it. Like, where's Sister Lucy at? Yeah. What's
I'm
on
enjoying
your, what's
just
on
listening
your mind
to the program. Okay,
okay,
I was concerned that someone told me that about the elections. I don't know if anybody brought this up, but it was saying that Janice Winfrey over the election committee over the election, you know, like
right.
City clerk.
Right.
That she would have been threatened by a lot of GOP people saying about the election that it was wrong, what she did was wrong with it. Her family has been, I don't know if anybody heard this, her family has been threatened in all of this because of the past election.
Oh,
has,
my
did anybody
God.
Hear that at all?
I haven't heard.
Oh, yeah, the Detroit city clerk.
Yeah.
She was in Washington, D.C. Yeah, she was in Washington, D.C. A couple of days ago, and she was testifying. So I did see and hear her testify. She says that, you know, she's scared and she's received threats, and some of her poll workers have been shot at, you know. I had a problem with Janice for some of the elections that she ran because it just seemed like they were not run competently, and it seemed like you know, there may even have been some improprieties at times. You know, that's like when Duggan, the mayor of Detroit, ended up running, and, you know, they had to take his name off the ballot because I don't think he had established residency in the city at the time.
And he won anyway.
Yeah, they had a write-in campaign. And so he won on a write-in campaign, and they talk about the high literacy rate in Detroit. but everybody, you know, spelt his name or spelt his name right. So, I mean, all these people, half of them can't even say his name, Duggan or whatever. But everybody spelt it right, you know, and so he won the election. So it's like, okay, it's some shenanigans going on with that. It's hard enough to win a write-in election, but you win it for mayor? Yeah, okay. I don't believe that. And then I think the power went out for that. I think the power went out twice. I think Kwame was running once and losing to Gil Hill. The power went out, and he came back strong and ended up winning. So, you know, it's been some crazy things going on with this.
So what you trying to say?
I'm trying to say there's some shenanigans going on.
So what do you think about Craig?
I think that, you know, we've been bamboozled. I think that, you know, James Craig, you know, was the police chief of the city of Detroit. I don't know how many years.
Eight.
But only 8 years?
Only 8.
Well, it seemed like it was longer than that, but, you know, now he's for governor. I don't even know if he said he's running, but he's on
why
the
did
campaign.
Why did he try running for mayor?
Well, why run for mayor if you want to be governor? I mean,
I think he's done an excellent job. I really do.
Who is that? Who is that?
Whitmer. Governor Whitmer.
Oh, okay. I know it's a lot of listeners that's not from Michigan, so probably don't know who you're talking about.
Well, our governor, I think she's done an excellent job. And people trying to kidnap her and kill her and all of that crap.
She's the only way that we're probably Michigan would not wind up being like the other states because the governor has got to sign all these crazy laws they're trying to put out.
Right.
So with her there, she can veto 90% of these laws that they're trying to, put in place right now.
Well, I think the GOP just took away some of her executive powers. So I think, you know, I don't know about that right now. I think the GOP just passed something to eliminate her executive powers on certain things, and I think it was really because of this COVID piece, you know. So
the Michigan GOP, you mean?
Yeah, the Michigan GOP. Yeah, they just passed something to try to limit her executive powers.
That's not the first time
they do that, though.
That's not the first time they've done that.
No, but how can they just get up and just arbitrarily do that? It seemed like it would have to come before the people if it's a part of, you know. I can't just see them saying, we're going to take this from you and that from you. Now, the court might try to do something.
They got to vote on it, but I think they got the House, you know, and the Senate here. I think the GOP controls, if I'm not mistaken. So if they've
got
the vote.
But it should be something like a check and balance on that. If her powers have already been established by what we consider our constitution here in Michigan. They just can't just arbitrarily go on, you know.
Well, they're doing it in all these other states where they just, you know, with these voting laws, they're putting them in place and passing them, you know, and the Democrats can't do anything about it. So, you know, they're
trying to do something on the federal level more so. That would override what they are, you know, what they're able to do. That's what they're trying to do. A lot
white
of the laws
folks are becoming a minority, and they don't like that.
Yeah.
So they're doing everything
they
can.
On that note, you know, they had the NBA draft yesterday where, you know, all these young players get drafted, you know, by the professional teams. And one thing that stood out to me is the number of kids with black dads and white mamas. Now, I mean, yeah. I know it ain't nothing. Yeah. I know it ain't nothing new. But
now,
it just
ready to say
like,
that.
It ain't nothing new, but it just seems to me that it seems to be more and more and more.
Yes.
Black daddy, white mama.
And yes,
you know.
And yes. Yeah, well.
So, you know.
I don't know what to say about the sisters.
I don't know.
They don't know what to say about it. You know, they can say it, but that's that voice, you know.
Boy.
I was listening to, what's his name, Dr. Omar Johnson. When he was talking to Gangst, he said that breaks down the black community even more. He's talking about the problems that we have. He said because marriage, he defined marriage as an economic and a political union. And it breaks us down more, makes us, you know, less strong, you know. Although it was something he said that was interesting. You know, Omar Johnson, he said he's a descendant of Frederick Douglass. And I picked up on, he was talking at the Breakfast Club. He's a descendant of Frederick Douglass. And he said, although Frederick Douglass, you know, he was one of the abolitionists and strong on it all, but then after his wife died, he married a white woman.
Yeah.
He said he did that because really underneath he probably wished he was white. And this is a problem that we have.
I read something about how Frederick Douglass' wife was holding him down during the period of time when he was, I think she bought his freedom. I think she was the one that paid for him to become free, a free man. Trying to remember
you
that
talking
story.
About the white woman?
No, the black, his black wife.
Oh, yeah, she had children, she had everything, his bonds, everything,
yeah.
But after she died, he went and grabbed some white woman.
But she wasn't the most literate. You know, they said she wasn't the most literate person, but, you know, I guess, you know, she worked hard and maintained the home and the kids. While he was out, you know, doing his thing, and there was a point where they said he had, I think it was two white women ended up staying in his house over a period of time, and, you know, I think that they were kind of, you know, ridiculing the wife or making fun of her, you know, I guess kind of, you know, you can kind of see the two white women together, you know, giggling and chuckling, looking at his wife, you know, out the corner. Or the eyes type of thing, you know, somebody's talking about you. So it was kind of like he was a playboy, you know, or he had women, you know, other outside. He had extramarital affairs.
Let me throw this stick into that. There are some black women. There's as white women.
Yeah, black men too.
Black as well.
Say it again.
So I'm saying, how, you know, back in that day, if you could pass, if you were black and could pass for white, which group would you like to join?
I think I'd be white.
I think I'd
check the white box.
Did you hesitate?
I checked the white box now on my job application. And I'm dark. They say, What's your race? I'm white. I'm Caucasian. They said, you know, okay, you got the job. Come in for an interview. Or they put you on Zoom and be like, okay, where does Negro come from? I thought you was white, Eugene.
But he talks about
was,
it.
I thought
down.
You was white. Yeah, so... Mm-hmm. Yeah, you got to play the game. I mean, that's just like the young man just won a PGA, the 3M PGA professional golf tournament. He looks white, but then when I start reading stories, his name's Cameron Champion, or Cameron Champ, and I start reading stories, he's black. He looks white, but, you know, you see pictures with him and his grandfather, dark black, you know, he around, dark black men, and You know, like, oh, man. But you, if you were to look at him without, just by himself, you would think he's white. And if you saw him in a group of white people, you'd think he's white. But he was black, and it seems like he's proud of it. But, I mean, I had no idea until I started reading, like, what, this a black guy?
Mm-hmm. What was it 1/8 black? You were considered black, or what was that? Anybody recall what the actual percentage was that made a person, you know,
black? So much in your system that makes you a black person,
right?
If you got
to trace it back to a black descendant, you black.
Right.
Yeah.
You black. They didn't kick you out the white club, right?
They didn't kick Thurman out.
Thurman who?
Who's that?
Marshall.
The congressman.
Talking about Marshall?
Thurgood?
No, not Thurgood Marshall. I'm talking about the gentleman from the South. What'd you say the name, my dear?
The Strong Thurman or something like that?
Thurman, yeah.
Well, he had some black in his family.
Yeah.
Well, he was a racist too, wasn't he?
He also had some black kids.
Yeah, I
think and one of our presidents too. Didn't one of our presidents?
Thomas Jefferson. With Sally Hemings.
That's him. Yes.
Oh yeah, so, he raped her several times.
That's why the black men choose these white women. They're trying to let the white man know, you know, I can get, just like you take mine, I can take yours.
Well, I don't think it's that deep for some of them, for most of them. I don't even think I think half of them even know their history. I think that when you're getting sick, it ain't that deep. That ain't the reason. Please believe it. I think that when you get in a situation where, you know, you're surrounded by white people and you got one or two black people, you know, then your options are limited. You know, you get in these colleges and you get surrounded by all, you know, by all these white people and, you know, so that's who
you
hang out with.
You feel like you arrived.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think
that's the whole thing.
You know, and there's only one or two black people to choose from, then, you know, they might not be your cup of tea. You know, you might not even like black, you know. You might not even be in it like that, you know. It's like, well, you know, it's easier, you know. I got 50 white girls to choose from and 2 black girls, and I don't even like them, you know. So let me go find a white girl, you know, and the white girls ain't stupid.
A lot of times on Facebook, you find seeing kids going off to the prom. A lot of the boys, a lot of the young men, were taking white girls to the prom, and you see a lot of black girls coming together, dressed for the prom, but all of them going together as single. You know, I saw a lot of that. Beautiful dresses, beautiful this, beautiful that. It's not because No, they're going out there to have a good time anyway. Yeah,
or they already got a white boy, you know, so.
Now, when I was at University of Michigan, and with the brothers at University of Michigan and stuff, you know, what I found out was a lot of the black girls there, you know, they wanted a party, but they also wanted somebody that had some money. Right?
Okay.
So they went around looking for people with money. But the white, the Asian girls look at potential and get, you know, and latch on to the guys that they know going to take off. And then by the time they get ready to graduate, the black girls are mad at the black men because they're going out with different type young ladies. But when they were trying to date them, they weren't interested in them.
No, that's very rare.
Yeah, I don't know.
You think that's very rare?
You know, there's I do. That's my own opinion, okay. One thing I feel that we have, and it comes from our enslavement, we remind, I look at what the scriptures say, no man hates his own flesh, and we have that going on. We have a lot of self-hatred within the black community.
Mm-hmm.
Self-hatred, and anything that reminds us of our stuff, we just don't want to be bothered with it. A lot of fathers don't want to be bothered with their children. All of this, you just have it going on. If you can't love yourself, you can't love anybody else.
That's right.
That's one big problem that we have. Very, very big problem. They were saying even in this past election, the sisters, they were the ones that really went after to put Biden in office, you know. And then they were saying 11% of the black male voted for Trump.
Yeah, that was crazy.
You know, and here it is, you know, we're facing a problem where they keep trying to kill off our children, off the young men, you know, off the black men and all this. And here we're trying to find some way to save them, but then they are going against, you know, against all of this. You're trying to save your children, the black male. And he said it was about 11% of black men, they voted for Trump. That's a big thing. But no man hates his own flesh, and we do. We hate ourselves. If you can't love yourself, you know, your neighbor.
And they didn't they know that Trump didn't give a care about them?
Still don't.
Well, you know, Herschel Walker is one of the guys that's in a Trump camp. The football player. The Heisman.
Oh yeah, I know Herschel is. Yeah,
but
played for the University of Georgia and the Dallas Cowboys.
Right, but before he had, remember Trump had a football team for a while. He had bought into a football team.
What was it? XFL.
Yes, and he signed Herschel Walker from Dallas to this other team. I can't think of the name of the team right now. Because they were showing it on TV. And that's why Herschel is in the Trump camp right now, because that's who gave him that big multi-year contract. So
yeah,
I can understand why he might be in that Trump. He's a fool. He may be, but he's a rich one.
Oh, he's rich. You know, he's a rich Negro. But it's all a lot of them. Ben Carson, one of them, too. I mean. But he a fool, great surgeon, you know, but once he started talking politics, you know, it was like, oh, okay, we need to take your name off that school.
Yeah.
You
well, you
know,
see what happened
so,
to Herman Cain.
He died young
Trump.
For Trump, huh?
Yeah.
Yeah, he caught COVID from that super spreader
rally.
Mm-hmm. In Oklahoma. You know, I can't feel sorry for him. You know, that's like a lot of stores I go into. You know, I was in the post office today, and, you know, it was probably 4 people that didn't have masks on. You know, it might have been 20 people in there. It was a white man and his daughter in front of me. It was another white man in line, didn't have a mask. It was another white man, he did have a mask. It was a black man, had his mask under his nose. It was a black lady behind me. It was a black lady behind me, didn't have a mask on, you know, but everybody else had masks on, you know. So I think, you know, and these are just my statistics, 8 out of 9 white people won't have masks on.
Right.
And 8 out of 9 black people, 8 out of 10 white people won't, and 8 out of 10 black people will. I mean, you know, every black person ain't wearing them, you know, and every white person, you know, ain't wearing them
either.
So. But, I mean, I went out to a grocery store in the suburbs, and the people wearing masks were in the minority. I felt almost out of place. I mean, I was like, okay, you know, I'm out of place because I got a mask on. You know, it was just like, hey, COVID what? you know, what's going on?
Yeah, well, they've been wanting to do that for the longest.
That's their right. They talk about their right.
Yeah.
We interfere with their right and the things of that nature. This is their right. It goes back to that white supremacy thing. No, I'm not going to do it. I'm a citizen. It happened on January 6th. I have a right to be here. I have a right. This is my country and all of this.
Right.
They have a right to do that.
So what do you think about the January 6th?
It goes back to that.
Think about what?
The January 6th committee investigating the January 6th insurrection.
Yeah. And they keep playing with those people. And they're making it easier for them to feel that they have a right to shoot and kill. And, you know, just... It's sad to say
what's his name? Kenzen Zinger or something? He's a Republican. He and Liz Cheney. And they kicked her off of her whatever.
Because she didn't agree with Trump.
Right. Because she said Trump ain't nobody. So they had to get rid of
him. Well,
yeah, but they still love him. And he don't care a zing about them.
Yes,
the Republican Party has been evolving, you know, and part of it was, you know, the Tea Party movement when Barack Obama was running for office. You know, but they've been really turning to and creating a Frankenstein monster into where they are right now today. So it's been in the works. I also read an article that Marjorie Greene and Matt Gaetz and one other Republican senator had tried to visit some of the January 6th insurrectionists in jail, and they were turned away. I guess they were trying to get their story straight.
Is that their position? Is that their position to do that, you know? I mean, do they have the right to? It seems like
they're really going
against the law. Yeah.
They just want to complain about something.
Well, there was one.
We can't get anything done.
One congresswoman who said that her panic buttons in her office had all been ripped out. So when, you know, the insurrection came and, you know, they went to push the panic buttons, wasn't none in there.
What?
So, you know, they had been taken out of office, ripped out. So she said, you know, at that point she was skeptical about trusting the Capitol Police because she felt they may have been sympathizers and may have been involved as well. And then there was another congresswoman, Ayanna Pressley, you know, with the bald head. She said that when, you know, they tried to send everybody to the safe room and she saw some of those Republicans in there, and she felt that they were just as racist. You know, she said, I'm not going in there with this super spreader event, you know, with all these Republicans with no mask on. And actually several of the Democrats ended up catching COVID out of that. You know, Jayapal and Bessie Coleman, you know, were two of them that caught COVID out of that. And I know Jayapal, her husband ended up getting it from her. So, yeah, it's crazy times right now.
You got that right. Well, okay.
Well, I think we've had a great show.
I think so, too.
Is Brother TC still with us?
I'm here. I'm listening.
All right. You have any words you'd like to leave us with tonight, TGIF, on July 30th?
No, just everybody just enjoy the rest of their lives. That's all.
That's the plan.
All right. And positive thoughts and everything will end up all right.
All right. Appreciate it. Sister Lucy, what would you like to leave us with?
I'd like to say that if there's going to be any help for us, it's going to have to come from within the black community coming together. And that's difficult. I know it is. But none of us, we have to come up with a plan, just like the sit down, and I would suggest that everybody sit down and think of a plan, knowing what we're faced with now. You have to come up with a plan to succeed in spite of all of that. It's going to take a lot of thought, a lot of this. You know, we have so many things coming up against us. But I still believe we have a way to come through all of this and to come out of this victorious. I do believe. I believe this, you know, that's my hope and prayer. And but we have to sit down, just like they're making up their rules and doing this and that. It's got to be some way that we can come through this and be victorious. I still believe that. But you have to sit down and think of how you're going to make it, and as individuals and as a nation, and as a, should I say, a nation within a nation, we have to come up with a plan that will work.
All right, all right.
I'm talking off the top of my head, but I think you're going to have to, you know, brainstorm. How can we handle all this situation coming against us and get together, pool in the resources we have and make it? And that's what I wanted to say. And I don't think that's bad, to, you know, to say we can come through this.
Oh, yeah. Well, I mean, you know, we have to. Other than that, we're going to be slaves again.
No, we're not going to be slaves.
Ain't nobody going for that. Right, right. Sister Jenny White, you have any final words today?
Thank you very much.
Well,
you're welcome.
What am I going to say? What am I going to say? The one who said you can't and you won't are probably the ones scared that you will. The ones who say that you can't and you won't are probably the ones scared that you will. So that's what I have to say. Yes. Listening.
Right.
Did you have to say something?
Yeah.
Say that again. That was interesting.
It says the
say
ones,
one more time.
The ones who say you can't and you won't are probably the ones scared that you will. So to me, that means you can't tell everybody what you're doing.
That's true. And my final words for tonight would be just mind your business. Get vaccinated. Stay safe, wear your mask, wash your hands, and say a prayer, because we all need to be in prayer so that we can overcome the forces of evil. I think there's some evil forces out here at work
that
are trying to control power, keep control of the banking system. And, you know, keep people oppressed. And I think that there is oppressed and depressed. You're right. So there's a movement. There is a movement at foot that we are living through as we speak. And I think that, you know, we need to learn from it, come out better on the other side, and eat some barbecue. Get you some scrimps, too. And be happy. Don't worry, be happy. Because before you know it, it's going to be snow on the ground. So it's summertime. Don't worry, be happy. If you're vegetarian, get you a rib. Eat some ribs for once. And if you are a meat eater, eat you a salad. And try something different. That's all I got to say. Thanks for all the listeners.
Thanks
very
much.
I'm gonna finish sipping on this wine and smoking this cigar and enjoying my Friday night TGIF.
Okay.
And with
all
that,
right.
All right. And with that, we'll see you next week. All right, yes. Jenny, do your thing.
Okay. Well, this has right. been the Let's Talk About It with Jenny White Show. Happy weekend, everybody, because the next time you hear us, it'll be August. So good night. This has been the Jenny.
Good night.
Let's Talk About It with Jenny White Show.
All right. Good night. Good night.
Good night.